This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Julian Ng and Shariat Abdullah. It is 7.36 in the morning on the 11th of June, a Tuesday. And in about half an hour, we're going to be having the breakfast grill where, Julian, you'll be speaking with Jean-Marc Roda. He's an economist at CIRAD.
That's right. He's also a senior research fellow with University Putra, Malaysia. Now, we all know that the EU is trying to end subsidies for palm oil biofuel because of deforestation. And we asked whether this is coming from a good place because there's so much politics in the world of grain oils. So are our plantations really destroying the forest? So we'll speak to Jean-Marc Roda on that.
Excellent stuff. And that's going to be happening after the 8 o'clock news, so be sure to stay tuned for that. Now, in the meantime, we have some international news for you. Boris Johnson is in the news recently because the bid for the Conservative Party leadership in the UK is underway and 11 lawmakers are battling it out for the throne. Boris Johnson is the current favourite to win, but other main candidates include Agriculture Minister Michael Gove, Foreign Minister Jeremy Hunt, Interior Minister Sajid Javid and Andrea Leadsome.
So how the process works is that candidates first need to obtain signatures of more than 8 MPs for their candidacy. Then they'll go through several rounds of voting, which will reduce the numbers of contenders. In the next 6 weeks, the party will have a new leader and the country a new prime minister. And he would have to contend with this whole Brexit mess.
So, I mean, they'll be going through a process of elimination. And now the Prime Minister is in the hands of just several MPs. So, that's interesting. And Michael Gove, one of the candidates, he has faced calls to drop out of the race after he admitted to using cocaine several times more than 20 years ago. And another candidate, Boris Johnson, who is quite an animated character. He is currently the favourite to succeed May, and he's been pushing for Brexit.
Yeah, I'm surprised that Michael Gove was so hated after that admission. I thought you would credit him with some degree of honesty.
You could say that he's no longer high in people's favour.
I see. Very good, Lynn.
Boris Johnson is quite an interesting character, actually. I chiefly remember him from the London Olympics when he, I think, appeared on stage with jacket all askew. And he was a rumpled figure and not one that you'd necessarily associate with leadership in the UK. But most recently, Boris Johnson has said that he would withhold payment of the country's Brexit bill to try and get a better deal. And there has been some backlash as a result of the comments. So immediately he was rebuked by France. So a source close to Emmanuel Macron says that a failure to pay the £39 billion bill would be equivalent to a sovereign debt default.
Yes, Johnson says that he would use the money to set aside for a no-deal Brexit to cut taxes for the rich. And he proposes to raise the 40% tax rate threshold from 50,000 to 80,000. And I guess that's the kind of thing that would make you very popular, right? Just to favour the rich. I wonder where that is coming from.
Either that or there are a lot of rich people in the UK as well. You probably have to look at the statistics. And some of the online comments on him. They're accusing Boris of being an elitist, currying favour with the Tories. But it's also important to look at UK's relationship with other countries outside of EU post-Brexit. For an example, now UK and South Korea, they have reached a preliminary deal to avoid disruption to bilateral trade in the event of a no-deal Brexit.
And that's quite interesting too, because this is the first post-Brexit trade deal that the UK has signed, and they're going to have to revamp most of their trade relations if and when the possibility of Brexit actually does come through.
Yeah, I think that the candidates will actually do well to look at the recent European Parliament results, because really the middle of the road is just lost out. Some of the winners are like either you're all for Brexit or you're a firm remainer, right? Boris Johnson, I think, is somebody who is firmly in the Brexit camp, and that will actually play into his strategy.
Yeah, he's definitely one of the hard Brexiteers, and that's going to be quite an interesting thing to observe once, if and when he actually does manage to come to power. Now, across the channel in Europe, the Deutsche Bank has discovered some serious failings in its anti-money laundering and sanctions controls that allowed checks and high-value electronic payments to be processed without proper screening. So internal auditors found that the weakness lasted years, and one of six core deficiencies was a filtering gap that affects checks written by corporate clients to foreign recipients.
Yeah, I'm just wondering why we are still talking about checks now, because it's really in decline with the advent of cashless and so on. But Deutsche actually processes about 50,000 checks a year. That's not a lot, but the bank has not been able to determine how many years back the failings go and how many checks slip through. They're also dealing with two critical failings, which are its control over high-value payments, which was first identified in 2014, yet to be fully resolved, and its governance and technical security of cross-border payments under the interbank SWIFT payment system.
Yeah, so according to people familiar with this matter, the Deutsche compliance and audit teams classed the critical and significant issues of F3 and F4 on German watchdog BaFin's anti-money laundering deficiency scale. Now, the two most severe categories that often lead to regulatory censure and fine. Now, the F3 finding indicates a grave deficiency and with significant consequences for preventing money laundering. F4 is defined as extremely grave deficiency which significantly impairs or totally eliminates the affected anti-money laundering prevention measures.
And actually, Deutsche Bank has been having a very good run in the news lately, because they're also being investigated by German prosecutors for potential links to Comex transactions for clients. So these deals involve a trader borrowing a block of shares using short selling in the run-up to a dividend day and then selling them to another investor. It's a bit of a legal gray area, because this allows two parties to claim ownership of the same shares, making it possible to claim dividend tax rebates running to billions of euros. And that's not all that Deutsche Bank's been facing either.
That's right. In 2007, they received an email discussing a design flaw in the German tax code, which allowed clients to illicitly claim refunds of dividend tax that was never actually paid. This is not a very good thing if this exists in your banking system. It's worse than 1MDB, I think.
Yeah, so but what they're saying is that they never actively participated in such transaction. Neither, you know, as short seller nor as, you know, as a Comex purchaser. However, the lender acknowledges that, you know, as a big market participant, it was involved in the Comex deal of customers.
Now, if you also remember, in April, Deutsche Bank's supposed mega merger with another German bank, Commerzbank, that failed, citing high risks and costs. Now, that deal, if it had gone through, it would have created the Eurozone's second largest bank. And that failure has forced Deutsche Bank to come up with its fifth turnaround plan since 2015 in order to calm investor concerns about how it's going to revive growth, boost shareholder returns, and they're really, really not doing too well. So their first quarter revenue was at 6.4 billion euros this year. It was 7 billion euros a year ago.
So they have 1.5 trillion US dollars in assets, making them one of the biggest banks in the world. So I think a lot of problems started when the global financial crisis happened about 10 years ago, and they're still struggling to get over that. And IMF actually a few years ago cited Deutsche Bank as one of the single problems that might cause another crisis in the world today. Just imagine one entity being the potential trigger for a global financial crisis.
Yeah, so I mean, that is not, I guess it doesn't stop there. So we're looking at the situation for Deutsche Bank. Bank credit rating, Fitch rate was also cut by Fitch Rating, which cited the firm's lack of progress in improving operation. They've been downgraded from BBB from a BBB plus.
It's certainly not all sunshines and roses for Deutsche Bank. Now, we'll be back with more local news for you in just a little while, so be sure to stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.